Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab. Adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
In October, the Washington Post published a piece about a man who had received a 16th century kettle that belonged to his grandparents. It was returned to him as part of an endeavor spearheaded to return Nazi-looted property to the descendants of those from whom it had been taken. It was spearheaded by a researcher and cultural scientist at the State Museum for Art and Cultural History in Oldenburg, Germany. The man who received the kettle is named Martin Goldsmith. Listeners might know his name and his voice from his time as host of the public radio classical music program Performance Today. He's also published two books about his family's experience during World War II. One of the books is titled The Inextinguishable Symphony, a true story of music and love in Nazi Germany, which details how his parents met performing in an all-Jewish orchestra created by the Third Reich and how his mother and father ultimately found their way to the United States. The book has since been made into a film by Danish filmmakers Anders Ostergaard, titled Winter Journey, which stars Goldsmith and has been selected as a centerpiece for this year's New York Jewish Film Festival. The festival is put on each year by the Jewish Museum and Film at Lincoln Center and is currently running online via the Film at Lincoln Center website through January 26th. Winter Journey is available to rent online starting today through 10:30 a.m. on January 24th. The film's nuanced narrative situates Goldsmith's family history in the larger historical context of the Nazis' rise to power and paints a moving portrait of the challenges of remembrance. I'm pleased that Martin Goldsmith is able to be with us today. Martin, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Allison. And I must say I feel very relaxed and present.
Oh, good. I'm glad. When did you first start to look into your family history, and what was motivating you to do this research?
Well, going back a bit farther, when I was growing up with my brother, we noticed that we couldn't go over the river and through the woods to grandmother's house at Thanksgiving. We had no grandmothers, no aunts or uncles. And I remember my brother once asking my father, why is that? And my father's very brief answer was, they died in the war. And that sort of had to do, I had to be satisfied with that answer for a number of years. But after my mother died in 1984, and as I turned 40 a few years after that, I met my father in Oldenburg, the town in northwest Germany where he grew up, and he showed me the woman's clothing store that his father had owned, or the place where the store had been, and he showed me the beautiful house where he had grown up right near the city park, which originally had been the gardens of the Duke of Oldenburg. And that got me thinking, where did my family go? What happened to them? And that began the series of questions which led to the research that led to my first book, The Inextinguishable Symphony.
Which is the book that this film, Winter Journey, is based on. Where does the film's title come from?
My father was a very musical, very artistic man. And he would often describe himself by quoting the first song in a cycle of songs by Franz Schubert. The first song begins with the words, Fremd bin ich eingezogen, fremd sehe ich wieder aus. A stranger I came, a stranger I depart. And that first song is from the cycle of Winterreise, or Winter Journey. Mm. And as that was a favorite phrase of my father, describing how he felt a stranger in a strange land, the director, Anders Ostergaard, decided to choose that as the film's title.
So your book was not only the basis for the film, but you also co-wrote the screenplay. And you play yourself in the film interviewing your father. As you were working on this, did it feel like acting? Were you playing yourself? Were you recalling a memory? Were you just being a communicator?
Well, it's interesting. I actually was an actor back in the 1980s and early 1990s. And I once took a marvelous acting class with three actors at Arena Stage here in Washington. And one of the instructors said, you know, when you begin to play a character, if you're Stanley Kowalski from Streetcar Named Desire or any character, you'll try to make that character as interesting as you possibly can. But he said, you will never, ever create a character on stage that is as interesting as the character you have developed as your own personality over the course of your life. It was that advice was borrowed from Lee Strasberg in the Actors Theater. So when I began to, quote, play myself, unquote, in the film, I thought of myself both as me, but also the character Martin Goldsmith. It sounds a bit metaphysical, but it was sort of a combination of my daily self and my heightened awareness self.
My guest is Martin Goldsmith. We're talking about the film Winter Journey. I'm going to ask you to describe how you would describe the film's genre, because to let our audience know, it is based on a true story. There's a great deal of archival footage. There are actors who depict your parents, but there's also the use of green screen backdrops for the actors. It's an incredible kind of mix. It's a bit of a collage in many ways. How do you describe the film?
Well, in many ways, it's a documentary, but it also includes what in the publishing industry is referred to as narrative nonfiction, which is to say a nonfiction, a quote, true, unquote, story. But as another wonderful writer once said to me, there are the facts and then there's the truth. And the two don't always necessarily have a one-to-one relationship. So the bulk of the film is me interviewing my father, gathering information for what would turn out to be the book. But there are, as you say, there's lots of archival footage, and the actor playing my father is the magnificent late, great Swiss-born actor Bruno Ganz, best known probably for his roles in Wings of Desire, the Wim Wenders film. And ironically enough, he played Adolf Hitler in the film Downfall about a dozen years ago. So the conversations between my father and me are based on my memories of our actual conversations. But to illustrate the history, on Earth, the filmmaker did use documentary and archival footage. And as you say, he used the green screen technique, which enabled the young actor playing my father as a young man to, for instance, recreate what actually happened. My father had to go to Gestapo headquarters to get his papers stamped before he and my mother made their journey to America in 1941. And so we see that the actor walking up the ornate stairway of Gestapo headquarters, when in fact he is walking up a rickety flight of stairs held together by the crew of the film. But because of the green screen technique, it appears that he is actually walking up this staircase. So it's an amalgam of many different filmic techniques, but it's basically a documentary.
In the film, Bruno Ganz plays your father, and he's reticent to share his memories from the Holocaust. In fact, when Martin Goldsmith, the character, becomes agitated at one point with him, actually. When you interviewed your own father for the book in real life, was he as reticent to discuss the past?
In many ways, yes, and in many ways, no. There is a scene in the film, which again is totally based on conversations we had. He described how on New Year's Eve 1937, which became, in the morning, 1938, he described how he and my mother found a little inn out in the Taunus Mountains, 20 miles away from Frankfurt, where they were living, and he described this rural cabin with no electricity and a fire in the fireplace. And then he said to me, that was where your mother and I first made love. And I, of course, quickly changed the subject, saying that's, you know, TMI, too much information. So in some ways, he remembered many details lovingly. Other details he found more difficult to recall. And I think the closer we got to his feelings of guilt and shame at having survived when so many of his family did not, I think that's when he began to find it harder to recall things.
My guest is Martin Goldsmith. We're talking about the film Winter Journey, which can be seen as part of the New York Jewish Film Festival running through January 26th, the festival that is. Both of your parents were musicians in the same orchestra, and it was part of a Nazi initiative known as the Kulturbund, and this orchestra was part of that. And what was the purpose of their stated mission to be the, quote, cultivation of Jewish artistic life?
Well, it was a really fascinating organization, this Kulturbund. It came about because after Adolf Hitler became Chancellor of Germany on January 30th, 1933, the Nazis, though they had many things on their plate, began to kick Jewish artists out of German theaters, opera companies, orchestras, and the like. So that by the late spring and early summer of 1933, there were all these unemployed Jewish artists, and they came together to form this Kulturbund, this cultural association, figuring that if they couldn't make art for their fellow Germans, they could at least make art for their fellow German Jews. And it became the only place where a Jewish artist, be he or be her, a violinist or a dancer or a stagehand, to perform with a Kulturbund in any capacity, you had to be Jewish, and to attend a Kulturbund performance, you had to be Jewish. But all of this thing, this whole enterprise, could only be maintained with the allowance of the Nazi government. But the Nazis saw this as a great propaganda tool when the world, such as it did, began to question how Jews were being treated within the borders of Germany. Dr. Goebbels, the head of the Ministry for Public Enlightenment and Propaganda, as it was called, could wave those criticisms away by saying, look, the Jews have their own orchestra, they have their own opera company. Surely we would not treat them that well if we were meaning any harm to them. So the Kulturbund acted as a refuge for Jewish artists and Jewish audiences, but it was also used by the Nazis as a propaganda tool. So in retrospect, it's a somewhat ambiguous organization.
I'd like to play a clip from the film Winter Journey that speaks to how unfathomable what the Nazis were doing was, even to those it affected the most. This is a clip of Bruno Ganz playing your father, recounting an encounter with their landlord in Berlin.
One day I noticed he had this suitcase ready and packed in one of his rooms, and I asked him, why do you keep a suitcase in your living room all the time? And he says, just a few things I want to take along when the Gestapo comes for me.
Wow.
And I said, what are you talking about? And he says, haven't you heard? Haven't you heard? Don't you know? We'll all be burned. And I said, come on. Those are rumors. This is fairy tales. And he just looked at me with a kind of very solemn expression, very little skinny man. And he says, you remember Adolf Kuhn?
That is from the film Winter Journey. And that's a theme in this film, Martin, and for our listeners to know, this disbelief that so many Jews felt watching their country turn on them. I'm wondering if you thought about that sentiment at all over the last 4 years, watching the rise of violence here in the U.S.?
Well, you know, Allison, it's been said that the quickest way to end any kind of argument or discussion is to evoke Adolf Hitler. And if one says, oh, this is just like Nazi Germany, people will often sort of shut things down because nothing can be compared to Nazi Germany. So I am not making an overt one-to-one comparison by any means. But if you study the rise of Adolf Hitler and you study the rise of the Nazi Party, they were supported by what were then called stormtroopers. And they were often local local citizens who thought they had grievances against the government. And when one sees events such as what happened 15 days ago, within just a few miles of where I'm speaking to you, it's hard not to shiver just a little bit at the sight of an organized group of citizens taking matters into their own hands, having been urged forward by a president of a country. So as I say, no direct one-to-one comparisons, but there are disconcerting echoes, or there were disconcerting echoes over the last several years.
My guess is Martin Goldsmith. The name of the film is Winter Journey. Your parents both made it to the United States, where your mother played viola in the St. Louis Symphony Orchestra. Did your father continue to play music?
He did not. When they first arrived in this country, they landed on Ellis Island on June the 21st, 1941. They arrived on board the good ship Mugino, a Portuguese liner, which was apparently the second last boat to leave Lisbon with Jewish refugees. My parents were exceedingly fortunate in that regard. And when they first arrived, my mother took a job as a domestic, cleaning other people's houses. My father found an interesting job polishing zippers and reconstituting them for use in new pairs of trousers. But they finally got jobs as musicians. My father played with the Baltimore Symphony for a year. My mother played with the Pittsburgh Symphony and conductor Fritz Reiner for a year. Then they both played in the New Orleans Philharmonic for a season. And then my mother auditioned for the St. Louis Symphony Orchestra and was accepted in 1946. About the same time that those grisly newsreels began to be released from Europe and showing American soldiers liberating the concentration camps. And it was at that time that my father first learned, he would get more of the details later, but he was aware that his father and mother and younger brother and younger sister were all murdered either in Auschwitz or in a forest outside Riga, Latvia. And I think as an act of penance, my father gave up his life as a musician and spent the rest of his professional life selling furniture in a department store. So the father I grew up with deprived himself of what really made him happy, which was to make music.
What do you hope is something people learn from watching this version of your parents' experience?
Well, first of all, I think the whole existence of the Kulturbund, this collection of artists making art for their fellow despised citizens of Germany, I think the story of the Kulturbund is a fascinating one. I like to think that listeners who will, I hope, become readers, who will then become filmgoers, will be moved by the story of my parents and how they stuck together and how their love made it through those very trying years. And I guess I going back to your earlier question, I would like to think that people would be aware of signals and hints and portents that life sometimes needs to be looked at in a way that protects all of us as citizens and as lovers of civilization.
I've been speaking with radio host and author Martin Goldsmith. His book, The Inextinguishable Symphony, has been made into a film called Winter Journey, which you can see as part of the New York Jewish Film Festival running now through January 26th. Martin, thank you so much for being with us.
Allison, thanks so much for your interest. I really appreciate it.
This is all of it.